Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal,
while working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
Good morning and welcome to the Senior Zone. This is Sean Perry, your host, and I sincerely want to thank each and every one of you for listening and supporting the Senior Zone for nearly the past 4 years. We celebrate our fourth year on air, uniting seniors age 50 and over with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events and advice in the hope of improving the quality of life for older adults everywhere while creating new conversations around how we age. Why? Simply because we care. The call number for today's show, it is 240-638-5430. That's 240-638-5430. Coming up shortly, we speak with Executive Director of Iona Senior Services, Ms. Sally White. I'm excited to talk with her about what she's doing and her organization is doing within the District of Columbia. It's a lead agency for the D.C. Office on Aging, so I'm excited about that conversation. In our second segment, you know, being diagnosed with cancer and then in the ensuing treatment, you know, it can be a frightening journey for most. Our next guest will be Ms. Brenda George. She is author of Rejoicing Through the Tears, Embracing God's Hand in Cancer. She's going to discuss how she managed, survived, and thrived through her bout with thyroid cancer. It's a story that you certainly don't want to miss. As we always do, we're going to close out the show with birthday shout-outs as well as news and announcements. But before we begin, please allow me to thank those that keep us doing what we love to do here on the Senior Zone. And first up is Seabury Resources on Aging. Their Connect a Card program, it gives DC seniors a flexible choice for transportation with a subsidized Visa card. To learn more about this program, call 202-844-3000, 202-844-3000. Next up is Right at Home. Right at Home, they are the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance to maintain their independence. So if you're looking for the best in in-home care, either for yourself or your loved one, give Right at Home a call. They can be reached at 301-255-0066, 301-255-0066. Next up, AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They are such good friends of the Senior Zone. They provide free legal advice, assistance, and referrals to all district residents in the District of Columbia who are 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, advanced directives, landlord-tenant disputes, estate planning, and so much more, LCE, they are there for you and at no cost. So if you need legal assistance, give them a call, 202-434-2120, 202-434-2120. Last but certainly not least, CareLinx. That's spelled with an X at the very end, L-I-N-X. They are the leading nationwide caregiver marketplace, helping families find in-home caregivers for up to 50% less than traditional agencies so your loved ones can stay at home and for longer. Find the perfect caregiver match on carelinks.com/senior zone. That's carelinks.com/senior zone. We'll be right back after the short break with the Executive Director of Iona Senior Services, Ms. Sally White.
An alternative transportation option for Washington, D.C.'s older adults. The Seabury's Connect a Card program provides subsidized transportation funds for eligible residents of the District of Columbia through a prepaid Visa debit card. Customers can use the Connect a Card to pay for transportation-related expenses, which include but are not limited to taxi services, public transportation fare cards, private transportation services, and intercity bus and rail. Who can apply? D.C. residents age 60 and older. Signing up could not be easier. Contact the Connect a Card office at 202-844-3000. That's 202-844-3000. And get your Connect a Card now.
Did you know that according to an AARP study, they found that 90% of people over 65 want to age at home? Luckily, finding the best care for your parents doesn't have to break your spirit or the bank. CareLinx is now the leading nationwide caregiver marketplace that helps families find in-home caregivers for up to 50% less than traditional agencies, so your loved ones can stay at home for longer. Whether your parent needs help with personal care, getting to their doctor's appointments, or just companionship, a caregiver can be there when you can't. Find the perfect caregiver match on CareLinx. Listeners can get the first 4 hours of care for free by visiting us online at carelinx.com/seniorzone. CareLinx, spelled C-A-R-E-L-I-N-X, ending with an X. That's 4 hours of free care when you visit carelinx.com/seniorzone.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone, and I am your host, Sean Perry. And with me today is the Executive Director, Ms. Sally White of Iona Senior Services. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Sean.
How are you this beautiful Monday morning, actually, outside?
It's gorgeous. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
It is. Let me introduce you to our listeners, Sally. Sally is the Executive Director of Iona Senior Services. Based in Washington, D.C., Iona's mission is to support people with the challenges and opportunities of aging. Iona advocates, educates, and provides community-based programs and services to help people age well and live well. Ms. White is honored to have worked for Iona for the past 28 years in numerous program areas and to serve, again, as the executive director for the past 5 years at Iona Senior Services. For those that don't know, Iona is a lead agency under the DC Office on Aging. So again, welcome to the Senior Zone again, Ms. White.
Thank you, Sean.
So first, can you tell us more about, you know, and our listeners more about Iona Senior Services in general, you know, i.e. like what's your mission, what kind of services and programs you provide, et cetera?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, Sean, our mission is to support people with the challenges and opportunities of aging. And each year we provide service and support to 3,000 older adults and their families. We do this by caring, connecting, and nurturing. So for example, so far in 2016, we have cared for 91 older adults and 130 family caregivers through our wonderful Wellness and Arts Adult Day Health Program, which is a wonderful service that provides a full day of activities and nursing support and other programming for people with dementia or physical challenges. Through our case or care management services, we've connected 330 older adults who have very complicated health, financial, and psychosocial needs with services to help them safely and successfully remain in their homes. And we've nurtured 155 isolated older adults with no other practical means of getting the food they need, with over 45,000 home-delivered meals. So in the past year, we improved the quality of life, access to food and health care, and opportunities for social connections for over 900 older adults living in their homes in the community. We answered over 4,600 calls to our helpline, introduced hundreds of people to Iona through our wonderful artist in residence program, and provided thousands more people with information and education. We also do a lot of advocacy work on behalf of the 100,000 older adults in the district, really focusing on eliminating food insecurity and increasing access to transportation, affordable housing, and other support.
You know, that's a mouthful, and I know that's just to start a conversation. You guys are doing some wonderful work over at Iona. I had the privilege of visiting your facility. It's been about a little more than a year ago now. I need to come back, Sally, but you know, you are truly doing what we strive to do here on the Senior Zone in terms of improving the quality of life, you know, for seniors, and you're doing it on a much, you know, more personal scale there. But real quick, what's the if you can, how did Iona come to be? What's your history?
Well, we were started in 1975 by people from several churches in the neighborhood here, and really were started as a kind of community center and resource for anybody in the neighborhood. But then it very quickly became evident that older adults were the ones who really needed the service the most. And so information referral and activity programming was kind of how we first got started, and then added on to those services in big ways over the years. So our helpline is still a really vital part of what we do. And it really helps link people not only with services here at Iona, but with services in the region, or indeed really across the country. We get calls from people who may live in this area, but have a mother in Iowa who they're worried about, or somebody who may be living out of town, but has a parent in this area that they're worried about. So we can help people figure out where they need to go to get services, what kind of options there might be for help at home or whatever kind of help they need, and help link them with those services. As we grew, we spread out into several different locations in our Northwest DC neighborhood. And in 1997, raised the money to build the building that we're in now, which is on Albemarle Street in Northwest DC. But a lot of our services happen out in people's homes and out in the community. And we also invite people from the whole region to come see us here to participate in programs that we have here.
Yeah, you know, back in 1975, I would venture to say that, you know, senior services and preparing for this avalanche of just, you know, seniors coming through probably wasn't top priority then, or it was probably in the embryonic stages. But today, right, you know, the numbers, you know, just say that, you know, we're in the middle of this. I call it the senior tsunami of this, us baby boomers coming through in such big waves. And it's organizations like yours that have prepared for this wave and currently managing this wave. With that being said, I just wonder, what is a typical client of Iona? What does that typical client like look like?
That's a really good question. Sure. It really varies, Sean. And one of the things that we're trying to do is really right now is really in addition to providing a lot of very supportive services, we're really intent on helping educate people about what may be ahead for them so that they can avoid needing our more intensive services down the road. So we've started something we're calling the Take Charge Age Well Academy, where we offer classes to boomers and others who are, you know, active older adults in things like, you know, should I stay in my home or should I move? Or, you know, how do I decide what I want to do as an encore career, or how do I stay engaged in my community when I'm no longer doing paid work? We also cover things like changing roles and relationships in retirement and making sure everybody has all of the, you know, their health care, power of attorney, and other documents in order that you should have no matter what your age is. So through that academy, we're really attracting a lot of younger, older adults, and they've been responding very enthusiastically to the program that we've offered. So then we sort of really see people on a continuum of what they might need. We have a variety of fitness classes, which also appeal to a large number of independent, active older adults. And then we also have fitness classes. For example, we have a wonderful Dance with Parkinson's class where individuals with Parkinson's come and participate, and having that music to dance to or to move to really helps them move in a much more fluid way than they're often able to at home by themselves. And then a lot of our social work clients are individuals who may have no family in the area and really need somebody to be their advocate and really help them, you know, get to the doctor, make sure the rent is getting paid, help set up services in the home if that's what they need. And we also serve a large number of adult children who may need just a consultation with us to try to figure out how they can best help their parents. Or we may have a whole family that comes in to talk with us together. So we kind of can be a mediator between siblings maybe who don't agree, or between parents and adult children who have different ideas of what would make the most sense for the older parents to be doing.
Well, that's good to hear, you know, Sally, because, you know, we speak about, you know, and hear about, you know, the sandwich generation, you know, parents caring for young children as well as their own parents themselves, and for you to have services that are available to that population. I'm sure it's unique, I would think.
I think it is pretty unique for us, particularly to have as many different services kind of a wrap around it as well to be able to access other things as people's needs change.
Yeah. Real quick, Sal, if I can, you know, if you can, you know, tell us, you know, there are many misconceptions, you know, about aging, if any. I'm sure there are some. If you know of some, what are some of the misconceptions about aging, and how do you, meaning Iona, combat those misconceptions?
Well, I think that ageism is pretty rampant out there, just sort of the idea that as somebody gets older, they're not as sharp or as bright or as capable. And we really work hard to build on people's strengths, and we know what people are capable of doing, and really work to have people live to the best of their ability and to their highest ability. Mm-hmm. So whether it's coaching somebody on what type of career they can still do for paid work, or whether it's helping an individual with dementia in our adult day health program successfully participate in a gardening program or an art appreciation program, we really look at each individual and try to build on their strengths. And I think that's a really critical part of successful aging.
Yeah, I remember when I was there seeing, you know, those that, you know, were plagued with, you know, or had dementia issues. And I hope I said that, you know, correctly. Uh-huh. And I saw the art program that you had there, and you have it all on your walls. And I saw some folks engaging in that art program that you've incorporated into your programming there. Can you talk a little bit more in detail about that?
Yes, we've found that that art and healthy aging are really, really critical to each other. The ability and to be creative in older years is a real gift that many people benefit from, but it's also a real gift for people who have dementia or other challenges to be able to be successful in producing art of their own. So we have a full-time art therapist on our staff with our adult day health program who is trained in counseling as well as art. So she provides individual and group sessions for those folks who may have trouble communicating through words how they're really feeling, and who may not be able to be successful in other things that they used to do, but who can participate in the art, maybe doing something they've never done before, like painting a picture, and really take a lot of pride in what they're doing and really build on a strength. So it's really been a great program. And we have a fabulous partnership with the Phillips Collection, which is a gallery down near DuPont Circle. We work with them throughout the year, and it culminates with an exhibit of our participants' artwork at the Phillips. So for the entire month of November, our participant work will be hanging on the lower floor in the gallery at the Phillips Collection.
I know, and when you walk into Iona, it looks like a gallery itself.
We have a gallery as well.
Yeah.
Yes, we have the Lois and Richard England Gallery here at Iona, which we show the art of the participants in the Wellness and Arts Center. That artwork goes up in the spring. But during the rest of the year, we have artwork from local older artists, and they're wonderful collections of art, and we invite the public to come and see it. And we do receptions and workshops for the community around that artwork with those artists, those guest artists here at Iona.
Yeah. Let's switch gears just a little bit with the time that I do have, Sally. We have just a few more minutes. You know, we hear of senior hunger is a big problem in D.C., and you mentioned food deserts a little while ago. How is Iona helping to combat senior hunger and maybe food deserts?
Well, we're working very closely with the D.C. Office on Aging. They're very concerned about hunger in older adults as well. And with limited money in the district, we're trying to help them stretch the dollars to go as far as they can. One of the things that our staff are working on here is trying to develop a new funding mechanism for meals through Medicaid. So we are working with the district to apply to Medicaid to be a provider of meals for some of the most low-income people in the city. And one of the benefits to Medicaid reimbursement is that 70% of it comes from the federal government and only 30% from the district. So that's a really important way for the district to get the most without spending the most of their money, spending more of the federal dollars.
How can, if for those that may be listening and are able and interested, you know, how can people get involved with Iona in terms of volunteering and just being more involved and wanting to help out?
That's a great question, Sean. Our website is iona.org, and we have a volunteer application on the website. We have information about our advocacy coalitions, and you can also call our helpline at 202-895-9448. That's our main number, and you can ask for our helpline or ask for our volunteer program coordinator, and we can connect people in a lot of different ways.
Gotcha. Are there any unique skills that you're looking for more than any other?
Not just somebody who, you know, cares about the community, okay. Really.
Gotcha. That number was and is 202-895-9448, 202-895-9448. Ask for their helpline there if you're looking and willing to get involved and volunteer with IONA. Sally, I thank you for coming on to the Senior Zone. Any parting words, any last remarks?
I just urge anybody with questions about aging or about being more involved to pick up the phone or go to the website.
Gotcha.
And thank you for having me, Sean.
No, thank you. You're always welcome back. And thank you so much for coming on to the Senior Zone. You're truly a friend of the Senior Zone, but more than that, you know, you're a friend of seniors within the District of Columbia. So I thank you for that and all that you guys do over there.
You're quite welcome, Sean. Thank you, and take care.
Thank you so very much. We'll be right back after this short break. We're talking about surviving cancer. We'll be right back.
I had money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone, and I am your host, Sean Perry. And today we are talking in our second segment, you know, surviving cancer. With me to help and facilitate that discussion is Miss Brenda George. She's an author of a book called Rejoicing Through the Tears, Embracing God's Hand in Cancer. Are you there, Brenda?
Yes, I am.
How are you this morning?
Great, Sean. How are you?
I got a big smile on my face. I'm so happy to talk with you. I'm glad that you are here and that you have truly survived. Allow me to further introduce you to our listeners, Brenda. Again, Brenda George is the author of Rejoicing Through the Tears, Embracing God's Hand in Cancer. She is a thyroid cancer survivor and a speaker for the American Cancer Society as a voice of hope. She is passionate about raising awareness and reaching out to others to inspire people from all walks of life to never give up hope. She's enthusiastic about life, which you're going to hear, and teaches others that they can not only survive, but thrive. Brenda resides in Maryville, Ohio with her husband, Mark, and they're adorable. She wants me to say this. Old English sheepdog named Maggie. Hello, Maggie. She's the mother of three grown children and a grandmother to seven. So again, welcome to the Senior Zone, Brenda.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you are here. So, you know, thank God, you know, for that. So if we can, let's just jump right into it, because I'm sure there are many of our listeners who have walked down a similar path that you have walked down. Mm-hmm. Some may not, you know, have made it, and some certainly have if they are listening. What was it like when you were first diagnosed? Give us that, paint that picture for us. When you were diagnosed, where were you, you know, and all of that mm-hmm. sort of stuff.
Okay, well, we were getting ready for our daughter's wedding, and we were really having the time of our life at that point. We were, you know, real busy trying to plan all the wedding plans, and I was mother of the bride, so we were doing that, and we were also planning a vacation to Mackinac Island, Michigan. Once the wedding got over, we were going to kick back and kind of enjoy things a little bit and at a slower pace. And I had talked my husband into getting a Mazda Miata convertible sports car. Mm-hmm. So everything was just perfect at that time. You know, it was right in the springtime when all the flowers were blooming, and just looked like everything was going to be perfect. And I went in for a routine doctor checkup during that, you know, whole process. And really, I was fine. I didn't feel sick or anything. And just for a checkup, and he noticed I had a knot on my neck. So he wanted me to go in and have an MRI. And I'm really claustrophobic, so he had to actually sedate me to get me to be able to go through with it. And I almost didn't go through with it because I, you know, thought, oh, this is silly. I feel fine, and I don't want to go through an MRI. So anyway, I went ahead and did it, and I got a letter in the mail about a week later, and it said that I had 7 nodules on my thyroid gland, and they wanted me to, you know, have it further looked at and have an ultrasound. And at that moment, that was, you know, really shocking, because first, I didn't really even know where your thyroid gland was. Mm-hmm. And, I felt fine. And but I still wasn't, you know, really worried about it. I just thought I felt too good to be having anything too serious. So we went ahead, and I went ahead and had the ultrasound done. And the wedding, you know, we had already got through the wedding. And then we went on our vacation to Mackinac Island. And while we were there, I got a call from the doctor's office, and I needed to, that the ultrasound didn't look good at all. And I needed to come home, you know, and have a biopsy. So it really ruined our vacation. And we rushed home, and I went in and had the biopsy. It just was one thing right after another. And so a couple of days later, I got the call again and to come in, that it was urgent that I talk to the doctor. And I was, you know, each thing that they kept telling me, I was getting more apprehensive, and I still felt good, but I just didn't think it would be anything serious, but it, you know, it started to scare me. So I went in it was a Monday morning, and, you know, it was one of those life-defining moments that no one ever thinks will happen to them. When that doctor sat down and looked me straight in the eye, and he told me that I had thyroid cancer. Wow. And that was, you know, very shocking.
So let me ask you this then, Brenda, you know, when you heard that from the doctor, you know, you went through all the tests, and the doctor is now telling you emphatically that you have cancer, thyroid cancer. What was mm-hmm. your first reaction when you heard that? What were you, did you go in the direction of woe is me, self-pity, or did you go in the other direction of, you know, I'm leaning on my faith, I'm strong, God's going to get me through this? Or was it a hybrid of the two? Did you vacillate between the two?
Right. Well, at first I was just terribly shocked, and I, you know, it was a terrible shock, and I was like numb, really. I didn't even, because everything was going so well, and I just, never dreamed in a million years. You know, you always think it'll happen to someone else. And I thought that I really took good, really care of myself and ate healthy and exercised, and I didn't smoke. And, you know, I just couldn't figure out how I could have gotten cancer, because, mm-hmm. you know, you just always think it'll happen to somebody who doesn't get care of themselves, and which definitely proved to be wrong. But it was a real shock. But yeah, and I withdrew at first all I could do was cry. And you know, I knew everybody loved me and everything. They all felt really bad, you know, but there was nothing they could do to help me. And I just really felt alone. I just kind of withdrew for, I'd say probably 2 or 3 weeks. And I wasn't mad at God, but I was just afraid, you know, in general, and didn't know what was going to happen. And I just assumed, I always thought when you had cancer, you just died. I didn't know there was hope, or I never really, you know, thought about all that before.
Yeah, but I don't think you would be human. I don't even think you would be a faith-based person if you didn't get mad at God sometimes. And if I offended
right.
anyone
yeah.
out there, then so
That's
be it.
True.
But I have my personal journey, and I get mad at God sometimes.
But and he understands.
And he understands. He understands. So in your book, Rejoicing Through the Tears, Embracing God's Hand in Cancer, what main theme or what message in your book do you want readers to get a grasp of?
Well, you know, like you said, you know, some people don't make it through their journey. A lot of people don't. And there are so many who do, though, also. And so just whatever side of it you're on, to know that you're not alone and that God is there. He's closer than your next breath. And he will lead you through one day at a time. And to just cling to him and your faith. And then there's a when I first was diagnosed, I was so upset, you know, and all I could find, I was looking for a book that would kind of help me, you know, to really give me the right words of comfort. And of course, the Bible did that. But so many books out there about cancer were more about just your illness and all the, you know, symptoms. And they didn't really touch your emotional side or your feelings, what you were going through. Mm-hmm. And so that's one reason I wrote it, because I wanted to kind of turn it around a little, because really people, when you mention cancer, they kind of back away and they, no one wants to even think about it. You know, it's a dreaded word, but so many people have it anyway, and they don't have a choice. But for those people, I want them to, you know that there is hope, and they can actually, it can turn around, and they can end up better than they ever were before, really.
Yeah, I think, you know, having, you know, a diagnosis like that and coming through it certainly will change one's perspective on life,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure
and really have them reflecting on really what matters in life. I noticed in your book that, you know, you have many scriptures in it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, when I was laying there in that bed and looking up at the ceiling, I, you know, I was kind of forced to, I've always loved God and been a Christian all my life, but I really didn't read the Bible and really get it deep into my spirit. And I kind of read over it and passed up a lot of things. Well, when you're flat on your back and you really don't, you know, have anywhere else to look but up, I started looking, reading the Bible and really devouring it. And I noticed those scriptures were very healing, you know, that they really cut right deep into the core of your soul. And I really am a firm believer that your attitude and emotions have an awful lot to do with your health, your physical health. And so I really wanted, you know, to have a lot of scriptures in my book to do the same thing for the reader that those scriptures did for me.
Yeah. What was your what one scripture in your book do you did you most lean on and that helped you get through that journey?
Well, the one I really loved, I loved all of them really, but the one that really stood out was Psalm 126. 5 and 6, that those who sow in tears, you know, they will reap in joy. They'll go out carrying sheaves, but, you know, or they'll go out in tears weeping, but they'll come back, you know, rejoicing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that time, that really meant a lot, because I was really about the lowest I could get. And I felt really bad. And after going through the surgery and, you know, all the stuff I had to go through, the treatment, and there were days I didn't know if I could get on, you know, have another one. I just couldn't face another one. I was so weak and so tired. And so that really spoke to me and, you know, spoke volumes and let me know that I might be having a hard time right now and have be in tears, but someday joy will come again.
Absolutely. And I asked that question, you know, for a reason, that mm-hmm. one scripture that you leaned on, because there may be someone out there that's going through what you went through, and they may not be, you know, a faith-based person, but they can still become one. It's not too late, and if they can have a Bible nearby, they can pick up that Bible and turn to Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. You know,
that's
for strength
true.
There.
Yeah.
So tell us what have you learned? What was your biggest lesson from your journey with cancer?
Oh my goodness, I learned so many things. It's kind of hard to pinpoint just one of them, but I think just that to enjoy every day, make every day a celebration, enjoy even the simple things that we take for granted, you know, most of the time, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your dog, Maggie, you know, just make every day. There, no day is ordinary, and just enjoy it and to know that God is there with you. You're not alone. And, you know, just to treasure every day.
Absolutely, absolutely. I haven't walked in your shoes, but as you get older, you do become a little bit more wise. And I've learned that those things that we have been chasing all of our lives, Brenda, you know, the things of life, right? You know, the cars, the houses, the clothes, the jewelry, whatever those things are.
Yeah.
You know, they become so minuscule and matter so little as we get older. It's those relationships we have with our loved ones and friends.
That's right.
And with God that truly matter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's switch gears just a little bit, because, you know, cancer, you know, many cancers are treatable today with today's technology. What would you say to someone out there? Because you got diagnosed by happen chance, right? You were having a physical and it just came up that way. What would you say to folks out there that really don't monitor their health, you know, as closely? They could be walking around with something that's curable and treatable.
That's right.
What would you say to those people?
Well, I'd say early detection really is the key to winning your victory, that you really need your, you know, to keep your follow-up, all of your doctor checkups, and just really stay on top of it, because that really makes a huge difference really in the outcome of your, you know, what you're going through. And plus, I think eating healthy and exercising, and I know as we get older, I know my mom, this is her 79th birthday today. So, you know, so and I'm always telling her, Mom, you know, you've got to try to eat better and try to act, you know, but she's getting older. So she, you know, each day, you know, there are days she does better than others. And so, but anyway, yeah, I think that eating healthy and exercising and, you know, and really just being happy, having a happy heart. The Bible says a cheerful look, you know, helps with healing in your bones. So just all, it's so important though, to really keep your doctor checkup.
Yeah, I'm certainly one of one's attitude does affect their altitude.
Yeah.
You know, certainly in all things there. And, you know, I know, Brenda, with my friends, my male friends, you know, it's such a stigma in the African-American community, at least, that, you know, getting a prostate exam, your annual prostate, when you turn 40, or going in for a colonoscopy, you know, it's kind of a taboo conversation, or at least it has been. And I can tell you, with the influence that I have with my friends, you know, I'm always talking about, did you get your prostate exam if you're still in your 40s annually? Yeah. You know, and it's nothing taboo about it. I'd rather have that momentary embarrassment or discomfort versus death and going through chemotherapy and all of that sort of stuff, as well as colonoscopies. Yeah. It was the best sleep that I think I've ever had when I went in for those 15 minutes, you know, for my colonoscopy.
I know, I had to go through it. I know what you mean. That's right. I was kind of mad when they woke me up.
Exactly. And I'm sure others have went through that. In your book, you list 23 topics that will help others get through their journey with cancer. We don't have to go through all 23, but can you name some of them?
Yeah. Well, for one, I always tell people to take one day at a time, because it's so important to just, you know, not worry about tomorrow. Today is all you really have. And try not to worry about the past, because that's over, but just taking one day at a time, because, you know, some days you just don't feel like worrying about how you're going to make it next month. And so if you can just get through this one day, and then tomorrow, God will give you a new fresh supply of strength, and you can get through that one. That's one of the things. I have 7 grandchildren, and I've got another one on the way, so we have a lot of kids in our family, and I love kids, so that's another topic, is to learn to see life through the eyes of a child, because children, they don't worry about anything. Everything is simple to them, and they enjoy, they learn, they forgive easily, they trust, you know. So I think we'd all be so much better off if we could just be a child one more day, you know, and get down to that level.
My wife tells me that all the time, but I see life through the lens of a child, really? But that's another conversation.
Well, it's good word. It's good word. And then I think learning to laugh. I love to laugh, and I think that joy and laughter is really so healing, you know, to get you through on through, no matter what you're going through. There's always, you can always find something to laugh about. If not yourself, someone else, or, you know, there's a lot of things you can laugh about, and that's healing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just enjoy things, do things that you enjoy. And I've got surround yourself with happy people, because, you know, it's really important that you cultivate healthy friendships and people that will encourage you and lift you up. That's so important. It really strengthens you. I've got tune out the bad things. I know I need to listen to the news more. My mom tells me everything I miss anyway. But I try not to really, you know, you kind of have to filter out some of the stuff because it can really listen to it nonstop. It can be very depressing.
Yeah, and particularly this election cycle, we can certainly depressed regardless of what side you may be on. And so, no, I appreciate all of what you just said. And I think it all, you know, hits home. I think it's some things that we didn't already, you know or did not know.
Yeah.
But it's good to hear about it and hear of someone else's walk through such a frightening, you know, experience, particularly when you first hear it. You may have that woe is me. Why, God, I've lived my life this way for you. And I'm still, you know, being taxed with another, you know, strenuous journey. But, you know, God certainly does work miracles, and he's worked it, you know, with you and your thyroid cancer. And I'm glad that you have come through it. But I'm glad that, you're helping people now, you know, and you're trying to take from what you went through and walked through to help people. And I understand that you now have a role over at the American Cancer Society. Can you talk to us more about that role now that you have?
Yes. Well, you know, after I went through my journey, like I said, it was one day at a time, and I wrote my book, and I just, when I was laying there sick, I really told God, you know, if you'll get me through this, I want to do something to make a difference in other people's lives. And I really had no idea what it would be, but I, you know, became a voice of hope for the American Cancer Society, and that has just really changed my life, too, because I get out there. Yesterday, I was downtown in Columbus, Ohio, for the Making Strides event. I got to speak, and I was, you know, interviewed on the news and everything. And I just love the people there. I don't think anybody, you know, none of us applied for that job. We all ended up there, whether we wanted to be or not.
That's true.
You know, we were nominated against our will. But we, you know, those people are amazing and strong. And you know, there is hope because so many people are overcoming the most terrible things. You'd never think they'd, you know, make it. But some of them, I'm amazed at, you know, how well they are doing. And the, you know, the progress today, you know, and the technology, and people are living, you know, they're surviving cancer and they're living longer. And I really believe one of these days we are going to come up with a cure for it, and not too far away, really.
Yeah. Well, you have a remarkable story of just triumph over, you know, adversity, over the sort of challenges. And I know you chuckle, but, you know, there's a lot of people out there, as we already know, that are currently going through it, may even hear that they have a diagnosis today for their first
time.
And hear that shocking, you know, information. Mm-hmm. And they need to hear your story, that there is hope, that there is another side. To this, that they can get through it if they just stay informed about their health, surround themselves with a strong support system.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, keep a sense of humor and a positive attitude so that they can get through this fight, this battle.
Yeah.
And they're not alone. They're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just going through your book. We have a few more minutes. I see in your book where you talk about or refer to the midnight hour. Can you share a little bit more about that? The midnight hour?
Yeah, sure. Well, I had already written the book before I really came back and put that in the middle of it. It was just like, like God just said, no, put this in the book. But it's just a place in our, everyone really has one. You don't have to have a cancer diagnosis. Usually, you know, it's that part in your life where everything falls apart. It could be it could be so many things. Could be a divorce, you know, money problems, just a number of things where all you have to look is up and you're as low as you can get. And at that point in your life, really, when you are that low, there is nowhere too low. And God really will meet you right there at that, you know, time. And that's what he did for me and so many other people at that time. You know, that's your lowest point, but usually there's light. You know, the midnight is at night, but if you really think about it, right after that becomes morning. So there is hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, you know, about that. Well, you know, Brenda, you have a remarkable story. I want folks to know more about your book. If you want to learn more about her book, actually, you can buy it where?
Well, you know, anywhere. Google it. It's online. You can order it from any bookstore.
Okay.
It might not be in the bookstore, but you can have it ordered. And it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And also, I have a Facebook page, and you can even buy it on there. And my website, I have a website, and the link to it is www.rejoicingthrough.com.
Okay, and through is spelled just as it sounds, through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H?
Right.
Rejoicingthrough.com. And the name of your book is Rejoicing Through the Tears, Embracing God's Hand in Cancer.
So, yes.
Brenda, I want to thank you for coming on to the show, and please continue.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're out there helping people, and I know that it's no bigger gratification, at least, you know, in my life, these past 4 years as I started the show, than helping other people or striving to be a help to other people. So, and I want to applaud you for what
you're
doing.
Thank you, too. Thank you for what you're doing.
well, thank you so very much. And I agree with you. Hopefully in the coming years, we can put the American Cancer Society out of work because we found cures for all of these
That's
cancers.
Right.
So thank you so very much again. I appreciate
what
you do. Okay.
Thank you, Sean.
Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay,
take care. Bye-bye. Here is Wind Beneath My Wings by the Smooth Jazz All-Stars. When we return, as I promise each and every week, birthdays of the week, as well as news and announcements.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Ow!
I love this time of the show where we get to acknowledge and celebrate those that are still here and enjoying yet another year. And first up, we have Mr. Ray Savoy, 74 today, October 24th from Greenbelt, Maryland. Happy birthday to you, Mr. Savoy. Mr. Terry Bradwell, he's an executive over at AARP. He's a young one at age 54. Tomorrow, October 25th from Cutler Bay, Florida, way down in Florida. Mr. Doug Duncan, former county executive for Montgomery County, as well as candidate for governor for the state of Maryland some years ago. He will be 61 on Tuesday, October 25th. That's tomorrow as well, from Montgomery County, Maryland. Happy birthday to you, Mr. Duncan. Mr. Joe Coleman from Lennox, Coleman & Blunt. If you've been around the entertainment scene, you know who I'm talking about, LCB. Mr. Coleman is 70, the big 70, on Wednesday, October 26th, hailing from New York City, New York. Happy birthday to you, Mr. Coleman. A good old friend of mine here, Michelle. She spells it with one L. Michelle Proctor is 53 on Wednesday, October 26th. She now lives in Washington, D.C. Happy birthday to you, Michelle, and thank you for supporting us here on the Senior Zone. Miss Ida Long is the big 70 as well on Thursday, October 27th from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Thank you, Miss Long, for listening to the Senior Zone. My Facebook friend here, Miss Betty Reedy. I like that name. She is 65. She gets that red, white, and blue card, that Medicare card, on Friday, October 28th, hailing from Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you for listening and supporting the Senior Zone, Miss Reedy. Happy birthday. Miss Caroline Carter is 73, Friday, October 28th, from Northwest D.C. Next up is Miss Elsie Fitzgerald is 70. 370-year-olds this week on our list is 70 on Friday, October 28th from Southeast D.C. And last but certainly not least, a good friend of the Senior Zone. She's been on the show before. Miss Carrie Hannon will be 56 on Saturday, October 29th from Washington, D.C. as well. To have your birthday mentioned here on the Senior Zone or any notable event such as wedding anniversaries, etc., give us a call at 800-217-1984, or better yet, you can email us at info@theseniorzone.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at theseniorzone.com. In news and announcements, we are now a little over a week into the Medicare enrollment season, which runs from October 15th through December 7th. So if you have a Medicare card, you are most likely, been besieged with direct mail pieces as well as invites to attend seminar presentations. I'm certain you have seen numerous television ads. Before making any enrollment decision, folks, I strongly suggest that you contact your local SHIP office. SHIP stands for State Health Insurance Program Office. In DC, that number is 202-994-6272. In Prince George's County, that number is 301-265-8450. And in Montgomery County, that number is 301-590-2819. If you missed that, give us a call here on the Senior Zone, and I'll make certain to get that information in your hands. Tomorrow, October 25th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Office of Disability Rights, in partnership with several district agencies, will host the 9th Annual Mayor's Disability Awareness Expo at the D.C. Convention Center. For more information there, contact Ms. Alice Thompson at 202-535-1321. That's 202-535-1321. This Saturday, October 29th, marks World Stroke Day. Stroke is the fifth leading cause of death in the United States and a leading cause of disability. Today, folks, strokes, they're more treatable than ever, but time is critical. If you spot the warning signs of stroke, which are face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, as well as time meaning call 911 right away. Responding quickly can be the difference between recovery and disability or even death. That's this October 29th, Saturday, World Stroke Day. Mark your calendars. The Walk to Defeat ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, will take place on Saturday, October 29th as well at 10 a.m. at the foot of the Washington Monument. For more information, call my dear friend, Mr. Buddy Moore at 202-829-3351. That's 202-829-3351. The next one is a site, website that I give all the time, lately anyway. It's called benefitscheckup.org. And this website screens for more than 2,000 public and private benefit programs that include help with prescription drugs, heating bills, housing and rent, food, legal services, medical costs, tax relief, in-home services, veterans benefits, employment and volunteer opportunities, and so much more. Screenings are confidential. Simply go to www.benefitscheckup.org to find out what benefits that you may be eligible to receive. The DC Office on Aging, one of their newest programs, it's called Safe at Home. It promotes aging in place for older adults as well as persons living with a disability by offering up to $10,000 in home accessibility grants that reduce the risk of falls and reduce barriers that limit mobility. To get more information or to begin the application process, call Safe at Home at 202-638-0050, 202-638-0050. Next one is, whether you're still working or if you're retired, it pays to be smart about your income. Go to economiccheckup.org to discover tips and resources in your community to help you manage your budget, save you money, find work, and set financial goals. It's free, it's confidential, and from a trusted resources, a resource our good friends over at National Council on the Aging. Again, to have your announcement mentioned here on the Senior Zone or to give us recommendations for future broadcasts, please call us at 800-217-1984 or email us at info@theseniorzone.com. Be sure to join us next Monday here on the Senior Zone. Until then, don't change that dial. The Discover Your Why radio show with my dear friend, Dr. Eve Taylor, is up next. Until next time, have an intentionally blessed week. We love you.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.